Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. I am the wizard Cronox, observer of time. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as the Orc Countant Eta and Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown!
You have arrived at the water. The edge of the consortium of Bleen, or at least of this island of Sour. You've taken a couple of small ferries sort of further north of Sour, moving into some of the smaller islands, some of which are purely boxing plants, where you can just see turtles sorting and boxing. Others, the actual construction of the boxes, huge lumber operations, just tons of just lumberjack turtles just working away. Eventually you reach what has the sort of visually seems almost like a ferry dock in terms of how it has like it's made of stone. It's sort of a long pair of docks with space in between for a ship, but instead of a ship, there are stairs leading downward. It is overseen by a large stone arch that in the sort of native written language of Consortium of Bleen that Maka and Gwendolyn, I believe, can read. It says where there is history, there is knowledge, in sort of large letters. You are able to descend. Maka, what does your water breathing spell look like?
I think instead of it being purely like spore based, I think this is again more fae magic, just because of the relationship that he has with fairies and the fae in terms of like some housing some of them on his body inside of like glow caps and things like that. So I think it's quite more magical. He casts it on Duncan and himself because turtles can hold their breath for 1 hour. But this is a spell that grants it up to 10 creatures with one cast. So just to be safe, he will give himself gills.
Sure.
And I think you get to have gills, Duncan, if you've got a place that you prefer them to appear. I know they would be under Maka's arms, like down his ribs is where his gills would appear.
I think Duncan would do the water world. They're behind the ears.
Nice. Yeah.
Look, I was probably going to force that if you didn't go that route. A map to an island or some bullshit appears on your back. Also, like, open the movie by peeing in a jar. Why not? How could this possibly lose money? Amazing. So the gills begin to form. Duncan, I'm sure this is an odd experience for you. What does having this sort of transformational magic work on you feel like?
I think it's itchy and it's got that feeling of like pressure in your ears, like when you're on a plane and you can't quite get it to go. Quite painful, but it just kind of sucks. And then it's just a lot of that. And then he's doing that weird archer thing of like, ma, like, I don't know what's going on, ma. Like, ma. It messes with his hearing a little bit until he's underwater.
Gotcha. All right. So being sufficiently uncomfortable, you just kind of immediately start wading into the water in the hopes that that will remedy it somewhat. Surely it does. Now, Gwendolyn, you are heavy and you can't really swim. So what is the plan for you?
Well, I assume we're going to the bottom, right?
Are you?
Are we?
We're going into the water. That's all we know, Laura.
You don't know where the archive is. It's safe to believe that it is probably near the bottom, but you're not sure whether it's like, you know, a blister on the side of a sheer cliff face or if it is like legitimately at the ocean's floor. It could be either. You just don't know.
I mean, look, if we're not quite sure where we're going, would it make sense to have like kind of a tether to me? Well, I mean, I'm not that heavy, but I am gonna sink.
Good. Yes, we must go under the water. Sinking is good, yes.
Right, but I'm gonna sink like all the way down.
Yes, good. Sink.
All the way down? All right.
And with that, you just step off the pier.
Bye.
the three of you begin to descend. Duncan, it's similar to trying to breathe through a snorkel for the first time or with an underwater breathing apparatus. It's incredibly uncomfortable to try and convince your body that this is okay. Because your body's like, this is most assuredly not. The three of you begin to drift downward. The water is cool. It's sort of warmer near the surface, but it's a refreshing change of pace from the eternal stank of the imported city and the effects of the curse that are clearly causing just all sorts of body odors you don't want to linger on the air. Can all of you please roll me a perception check? With D disadvantage if you don't have dark vision.
Of course I don't have dark vision.
That's a 7 for Maka.
A 7 for Gwen as well.
5.
So you continue to drift downward, and in the distance you can see a dome after you've been sort of sinking for several minutes. We'll say like, I don't know, 20 minutes. Like it's been a while as you go down. You can see a dome in the far distance with lights that are clearly in it. So it's very blurry at distance, but definitely a kind of at least a direction to head towards. I would say only Gwen and Maka can see this because Duncan, you would just have blurry human eyes underwater. God, it's been a long time since I've opened my eyes underwater. I fucking hate it. Just goggles all the way, baby. As you continue to sink, you kind of see it in the distance, and Maka and Gwendolyn, you can make out small shapes sort of swimming above it and around it. But clearly that is the archive. Good news for you, Gwen, is if you do hit the ground, you'll be able to walk.
That's nice.
Maka, I imagine like turtles are also good at like holding their breath for an extraordinary amount of time. How confident a swimmer do you think Maka is?
He hasn't done it in a while, but yeah, he's capable. Just living where he lived, like everyone kind of learned to swim growing up. Yeah, so he knows how to swim, but also is confident just walking along the ocean floor.
Duncan, I forget. We talked about this way back when you first left Byproduct.
Yeah, he's a good swimmer because he's practiced everything. I think he would have left his shoulder cape and his hat somewhere safe because they would be an impediment down here. But
yeah, you can leave him with Ida.
Yeah.
Great.
Just be swimming along.
Great. So the three, so Duncan and Maka are kind of swimming. Gwendolyn's just kind of sinking.
I like to think going along the bottom, like surfers who train, who just have like these like 50-pound ball to like keep them down. And they're just like running with it underwater. Like
yeah, that kind amazing. Of
slow motion. Yeah.
When you hit the ground, that's 100% what that will look like. Unfortunately, before you can jaws clamp. Clamp down on you rather hard. Your AC is 20?
Yeah.
Well, that don't matter one bit. Jesus. That is...
Great.
Yeah, that is 25 points of damage.
Yikes!
As a massive prehistoric crocodile... and a big boy crocodile, just like chomps down on you, a dark shape that all of you sadly missed, that was approaching out of the gloom. Go ahead and roll initiative, please.
Bollocks. 8.
Well, it rolled a 20, but if there's a time to get a crit,
7 for
a monster now, Maka, 7.
11.
And sorry, Gwendolyn, you were
8.
8.
Remember when we all got nat 20s in the same round?
Oh boy, yeah.
No.
Heavy hitters.
No, I don't.
Great. So the crocodile is up first. Gwendolyn, as you feel your armor crunch and compact slightly, you turn to see this beast. It is, again, like we're talking like sort of just a massive old, the way they show them in history books, massive, scary old crocodile. It is the size of a house. So it's like it's a big creature. That said, you can see since you are in its jaws, it too has discharge just sort of pouring, kind of floating off of its eyes. Its eyes that are a mix of yellow and black. It looks very unnatural. You can see discharge from its ears as well. And there are actually patches of its scales that seem to have fallen away. This thing is in tremendously rough shape. There are small growths just kind of fluttering in the water, similar to almost like a, if you could imagine seaweed growing off of it, yeah. But similar vegetation to what you saw topside, but adapted for the water. And it goes first and it just crunches down on you. So you're in its jaws. You can go ahead and roll me a con save, please.
Bloody hell. Dirty 20.
Okay. So it's not an auto hit, which is good. Unfortunately, it is still a hit, but it will do less damage because you saved. So its jaws don't open up and slam down. It just bites harder. So that would have been 15. You're going to take 7. What do you yell out into the water as this happens? Because you are an enchanted ghost, Duncan and Maka hear you cleanly, whereas they will not be able to hear each other. What echoes in their head as they hear the
it's just fucking fuck it off me. That's it.
Sounds about right. Yeah. It's tracks. Picking up what you're putting out. Great. That is the crocodile's turn. Improbably, Duncan, you're up next with your 11.
Yeah. Realistically, I think he also probably left Mr. Bang because I don't think his flintlock double-barreled pistol would do well underwater.
Yeah, I've played enough video games to hear about keeping your powder
but
dry.
But does my pistol get gills?
Yeah. I mean, in Last of Us, they just swim around with all their guns underwater all the time. But no, true. So... I think he will just be like swimming towards the head, and because he's got a rapier, which isn't ideal for this, it's kind of like taking his one hand so that it's like extending down out of his fist and his other gloved hand grabbing the blade near the handle. And then he's just trying to ram the whole thing into its eyes. Because if he can just blind it or stab it in the eye, it's most likely to open its mouth, which is his priority goal.
100%. Okay, go ahead and roll.
All right, the first one is an 18 to hit.
Yep, that'll hit.
And the second one is a 14 to hit.
Right on the money.
Yay.
It's tough, but also very large. So,
and the damage, when we combine both stabs, comes to a grand total of 22 piercing
damage.
Very
nice.
It's a good skull rapier.
Good hit. Still lots there, but that's a good. It's a good start. So yeah, you just start stabbing into it. I'm gonna roll to see if it can keep its jaws tight. It does. It is. It's committed to the cause now. But it also rolled a 19, so it's very committed. Gwendolyn, ruh-roh, you're in the jaws. What do you do?
What part of me is in the jaws?
It has got kind of your center mass. So it's around the kind of like breastplate and probably like...
Cool. So I've got my arms free?
Yes.
All right. So I think what I want to do is take my sword and try to basically pull it kind of down and around and stab upwards into like kind of the base of its
under
throat,
the jaw.
Neck.
Yeah.
Like right there, because I figure like... That motion will get it to like maybe release its jaw.
Yep,
to
that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
I know I would if I got hit there.
Yeah. So I would theoretically give you advantage for this because like you're held by it, but I also think the angle at which it's crunching you neutralizes that because like you also have disadvantage from being in its jaws, but also advantage from like it's easy to stab. So just rolling straight.
That's fair. Okay. So I'm gonna try to strike it twice. Mm-hmm. Not gonna not attack twice. That's a 21 and a 10. So I'm
21
guessing
goes 10, through, 10 will not.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh god, and double ones. Yikes, it's a 5.
I mean, you know, and I say this with all the love of my heart, every little bit counts.
And do you know what? Because it's already got hold of me, I'm not really worried about it taking an attack of opportunity. Because it's kind of like I'm in its jaws. Mm-hmm. So I think I will let go of the blade and make it fly around to the top and try to get it in the top of the head.
Cool. You take an attack of opportunity, but I rolled a 3. So it don't matter.
Good. But I mean, it was already in the jaw. I know. And that's a nat one. Fuck me.
You throw the sword and it crunches. You lose sight of the sword and it begins to drift away into the darkness.
What?
It will be reclaimable later, but you rolled a one, homie, on an admittedly like, I've got this power, so I'm going to use it. Off it goes. Next up, Maka. Whoa. I'm sorry, you want to fight it?
No, it's just literally, I was actually making a Gwendolyn sound of what?
Very good. Yes, entirely fair.
Tom was ready to fucking throw down.
No.
Oh, my.
No.
Look, you got to go talk to three jurors. All right, Maka, you're up, bud.
Conjure animals.
Yay!
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to invite you to check out their flagship podcast, Dum Dums and Dragons. It's a show where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. It features Laura Elizabeth as the wizard Alan, Tyler Hewitt as the thief Quinny, and Ryan LaPlante as a cleric named Butthole. Through their first season, these heroes experience the minds of Phandelver, but starting in season two, they step into a world of fully original adventures from the mind of DM Tom McGee. Follow them from the beginning of their quest through 5 more seasons and beyond. Check it out now. Dum Dums and Dragons.
We need friendly creatures of the sea on our side.
Motherfucking Aquaman.
Two giant octopus emerge from I think because of like the way that spores like behave in the air is like they kind of like hover and stuff like that. But I think because we're underwater, it's all like wet and kind of glomular and chunky. So it kind of comes out as like a spore like sludge. And it basically forms into like almost like an ink cloud made of spores. And emerging from the cloud, these two octopus come out.
Nice.
Love it.
They are giant octopus. So their size classification is large beast. How massive is this ancient croc? Is it like a huge thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Without looking at the book for actual sizing, I would say
the megalodon.
Yeah, it's in that ball. It's in that ballpark, or like the one from Hook that's like two stories tall and spoopy, but without a clock in its mouth. So it's got a Gwendolyn in its mouth because I don't have Disney money.
But she can yell the time if she needs to.
Ow! It's 2:05.
So I roll initiative for them. They came in at initiative 13.
Okay. I'll just turn the C into an O and add a C above it.
Perfect.
I
thought you were talking about turning the C like the ocean.
Oh.
Into an O. I was like, all right, man, you're the DM. I don't know.
We're surrounded by spaghetti.
Do you like my twist?
Yeah.
Your heart out, Matt Mercer. My C is made of SpaghettiOs.
The SpaghettiO C.
Yeah. Great. What else do you do on your turn? If anything.
Yeah, if anything, right? I think I'll leave it at that. He seems pretty occupied with Gwendolyn. Is there anything I can do to help her not
occupied
immediately? That's pretty good. So I'll sit tight.
Great. All right. Top of the round, we have the croc with two octopi attacking it now, or we're kind of drifting towards it. It's going to turn its attention away from Gwendolyn, not releasing her by any stretch, but not focusing on chewing. Instead, it's going to lash out twice with its tail. What are the ACs on the octopi?
They are 11.
Fucked. It will hit with both as it just slaps back and forth.
I bet they got some HP, though. They're big.
they will take 8 points of damage each.
All right. Yeah, they're good.
Happily, the tail is not nearly as deadly as the teeth, as you can probably imagine. That's why it gets two, but does far less. Speaking of octopi, slap, slap. Wake up. It's your turn.
So Gwendolyn is still in this thing's jaws. It hasn't let her go yet.
It has not.
Okay. So then both of these giant octopuses are going to make tentacle attacks.
Mm. Is the goal to like force the jaws open? Or just to beat it up?
Basically it's rules as written. It is like bludgeoning damage. And then the creature is grappled.
Oh, amazing.
So
okay,
it's, so it's best like gripping with tentacles. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So for the first one, that's not going to hit because that's 3 plus 5. 15 plus 5 for a dirty 20, though, on our second guy.
Yes. What was the first one?
Like 7 or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's no good. But yes, dirty 20 will absolutely do it.
Yeah. Okay. So 2d6 damage. I didn't have my dice ready for this kind of damage. Hang on.
I understand. I didn't have my brain ready for this kind of creature. That's fine.
10 plus
3. 13
bludgeoning damage. If the target is a creature, it is grappled. So
it
is grappled. Okay. I think right now it should be able to try and escape, though, right? Like at the time of grappling, that sounds right?
No, it'll be on its turn.
On its turn? Okay.
I'll also say once it's grappled, it does release Gwendolyn, just because I can't imagine a large panicked creature being grappled is like, I mean, I don't know. I've seen Ripley with toys do this, but like for most creatures, be like, I don't need this anymore. I don't want to die right now. Gwendolyn, you feel the jaws loosen on you. It's not like it spits you out or anything. So you're just kind of still drifting like in and around its mouth and start to kind of push yourself off. Duncan.
Okay, if Gwen's getting out of the mouth, then Duncan wants to get the fuck away from this head. So he's just going to swim back to down the body, away from the head, just stabbing along the way.
Yeah, like, rather than fully swimming, you're just stab pulling?
Yeah, yeah. So he's like kicking, but then it's stab in and pull self forward.
Yeah, that's how I learned to swim too. All right, great. Go ahead and roll your attack, please.
Because it's grappled, do I have advantage?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, nice. It is restrained.
Even so, I think that makes sense to my mind. That would be easier to hit. Like, this thing's already a fucking brick shithouse. Like, it's huge. Hmm. So it's not hard to hit to begin with. And if it's trapped, like, meh.
All right. So that's a 23 and a 19 to hit.
Both do it. Yep.
Great. And that is... It's 19 damage.
Whew.
As he stabs his way down the spine.
Yikes. Yeah, it is bloodied for reals. More than bloodied, but definitely bloodied. Great. Good round. So you reach the end and you're just kind of swimming along behind it, knives out, ready to kill. Gwendolyn, you're finally free. You have no sword. You can use your bonus action to recall the sword.
Oh, I can.
Yep.
Well, then I fucking do that.
Great. So now that you're free, you reach out and the sword comes kind of drifting lazily back through the water and lands squarely in your hand. You're now kind of floating, sinking still, but floating in front of the massive crocodile as Duncan stabs his way down the back and the octopi hold it. What do you do? Cool.
Like, basically team up with Duncan and slashy slashy.
All right, go ahead and roll your slashy slashy.
On eyes
with advantage.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, so you're staying up by the head. Duncan was swimming away from the head.
She can't swim. She's just going down.
Oh yeah.
So it's kind of like as I can, like
Yeah, the one's like trying to reach cookies at the top shelf. Just like
So I will try to hit it twice. The first one that's with advantage, it's 24 to hit.
Yep.
And the second one is 18. hit.
Yeah, that'll do.
Awesome. All right. Is 14 damage on the first one and 8 on the second one.
All right. All right. It is looking real rough. Really, really rough.
Well, good.
So you get a couple salt thwacks in, and then you just drift.
I imagine I'm just holding my sword with like both hands above me, just kind of like feebly like swinging it and hitting nothing.
Yeah. Maka
floating down. Comes at you.
Yeah.
This thing is not like, I mean, it looks like it was never looking too good, or
it's looking very rough though. Looking like it was already rough. Looking bad. Now it's okay. Like very bad.
Kill it and bring it back as a zombie.
Well, before it dies, I want to try something. Maka will, let me make sure this isn't another concentration before I do that. Conjure animals, concentration. So can I do this other thing?
For a second, I thought you were talking about like Duncan being able to breathe. I'm like, this would be a really bad time. Oh.
No, that's good. That's good for 24 hours.
Okay. I turn it into a cool car. Duncan's like, oh. He's like, Maka just drives by on a crocodile.
Okay. So this other spell is not concentration. So the octopus can remain. I will cast Speak with Animals.
Mm.
As an action, instead of as a ritual, so that I can just get it done quickly. And I will just say to this crocodile, I will say, yield or be crushed.
It just fucking screams. It screams and screams and screams. You hear the same rage and sort of wrath that you felt in the cluster. Only this thing is from a glance too far gone. You talked earlier about the cordyceps, and this is like,
yeah, okay,
it's well and truly done.
That's useful information too. Mm-hmm. Maka will end his turn with that, and is basically ready to issue the order for the octopus to finish this thing off.
Cool. It gets to go first. It is restrained, so yeah. I'm going to roll my save to see if I can get out of that.
16.
It does not, okay, by any stretch with the garbage I just rolled. So I think instead it just kind of like flails back and forth. The fact that you're in its head is bothersome to it. I think it fails to do too much. Bring us to the octopi.
Okay. Until this grapple ends, the target is restrained and the octopus can't use its tentacles on another target. So one of my octopi is like out of commission because it's maintaining the grapple, but the second one can make another tentacle attack.
Great.
For some more damage. Nat 1 on that.
So, you know, I said the crocodile was too confused to act. As the octopus comes around to get an optimal space, the crocodile in a panic just lunges out and attacks, but fails to hit. Okay. The octopus is not...
I did misread this. It can't use its tentacles on another target. So the one that's holding it can do like another tentacle attack to like crush it further, similar to like being in its jaws.
Yeah, gotcha.
Nice.
Go for it.
And that's a nat 20. It's like flipping a fucking coin. So rolling damage dice twice. That's 4. That's 4 again, plus 3. 11 bludgeoning damage.
So it, as the crocodile is distracted by the loose, octopus, it lunges forward, elongating its body just enough that the gripping octopus can just squeeze and twist. With the sound of a plastic water bottle being twisted, that is deafened by the weight of the water around you. The octopus just like twists the crocodile in 3 separate directions and leaves its sort of twisted hulk to drift. But it had 4 HP, so it is very dead.
Okay.
As you leave its sort of the husk of this creature to sort of drift away, The three of you sort of drift downward, I assume assisted by the octopi now that you have them.
Yeah.
The small figures you saw swimming in the distance are coming ever closer. And sure enough, moments later, as you kind of continue to make your way towards the archive, you are greeted by a war band of Tritons. So Tritons are, they have legs and arms. In our world, there are fingers and toes are webbed, so they are tremendously good swimmers. They're all rocking like Namor from Marvel, just like all of them are in some version of like mankini or tight, like short shorts. And then just kind of like there's a lot of shoulder action and like a V of fabric attached to their belts. So like, nice. It's just like, it's not really enough clothes to qualify as clothes, but it's also too much to be a bathing suit. okay. All the genders that approach you are wearing the exact same garment. Those that have breasts, they're just hanging out. Like it's bad for everyone, but they're just all committed to this kind of outfit.
Right on, man.
They kind of swim over, tridents on their back, harpoons, all the kind of underwater shit you'd expect. Out of the center, one comes with just kind of like, I forget what creature these are on, but kind of those long, wispy tails that end in kind of almost a spade shape. Their hair is kind of that. They have a number of that, just kind of creating like a halo behind them. Bit of a Cate Blanchett as evil Galadriel vibe. Kind of like swimming impressively forward. Arms stretched wide. There's thunder crackling around her arms and her skin, which sends little pulses of electricity through the water. Duncan, you can feel it. Gwendolyn, you could also definitely, like, I think Gwendolyn more, like little arcs of it are hitting you. Duncan, for you, it's like getting a low level electrical shock. It's not the worst, but it's certainly not pleasant. As she floats forward, I'm just roll for initiative for them. Imperiously with the Tritons around her, she stretches her arms wide, and with a slight grin, lightning crackling around them, brings her hands together.
This episode of Curse Code and Crowd Sound was mixed and edited by Laura Hamstra, and the campaign was created by Tom McGee. Our original theme music was composed by Landon Noblock, and Curse Code and Crown's logo was created by the brilliant Decapitated Markers. If you want to follow our players or our DM on Twitter, you can reach out to Laura at EL Hamstring, Ryan at the Ryan LeBlanc, Tyler at Tyler_Hewitt, Tom McGee at McGeeTD, or you can message our whole company at DumDumDice. So please, join us again for more Curse, Code, and Crown!
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire on Friendly, Great Dane, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.